This morning's first reading is taken from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second scripture reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 and 10 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Gavin, for another wonderful reading. And Chris and musicians, thank you for the music. And I notice the last line of the last song we sang, Hosanna. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what Hosanna means. We say it all the time, but what does it mean? It's actually a pretty easy question because there are two major meanings. The first is, help, save me, God. And the second is, praise you, God. And the great Victorian preacher, Charles Spurgeon, said, never forget those two things. We pray with supplication, help me, God, with thanksgiving, praise you, God. So let's look at that phrase and let's look at this wonderful passage, but let's first pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. I'm going to try not to take too many votes today, but how many of you would like me to hurry through the sermon so we can get to the turkey and the Thanksgiving feast? Be honest. Okay. It's quite a tradition, and like every tradition, it's based partially on fact and partially on fiction. But in 1620, a group of 103 religious pilgrims left England for what we would now call the state or colony of Massachusetts. They had a rather rough winter. In fact, half of them died, mostly of pneumonia or starvation. There were only 5 adult women left in the spring of 1621. They were in a help me God situation. But by September or October, they had the first Thanksgiving feast. And it was a thank you God sort of thing. Now here's where we have to start to separate the fact from fiction. There was no turkey at the first Thanksgiving. There was no pumpkin pie at the first Thanksgiving. In fact, ovens hadn't been invented yet. Birds were either boiled or roasted over an open fire. And there were lots of ducks, lots of seafood, which somehow we don't have on the menu today. And one of the specialties was eels. But they were very, very grateful. The other thing that's very interesting is they didn't have forks. Forks were considered a very unusual instrument to eat, a utensil. So they had spoons and they had knives, but they basically ate with their hands on the ground. But God did bless those pilgrims. The other thing, women, there were only 5 women who had to serve about 50 men and about 80 to 100 Native American men and women that first Thanksgiving meal. But the pilgrims learned a lesson that we need to learn. Help me, God. Thank you, God. Well, there's another person who learned that lesson. That was the Apostle Paul. He's writing the letter to the church at Philippians, and at the very beginning, he says, I just rejoice every time I remember you. Now, it's interesting to realize Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. He's not in the sort of circumstance you would expect a lot of joy and thanksgiving to be emanating from him, but he is very grateful, very thankful. And after he tells everyone to rejoice, he says, God is near. And this is, does he mean spatially or temporally? Does he mean God is going to come very soon, or does he mean God is very close to you? You've heard me say many times, 365 times in the Bible, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. And this is one of them. Don't worry. I like the translation that of the message, don't fret or worry. Okay, we will have one more vote. How many of you tend to worry more than you would like to worry? Okay, good. It's not unanimous, but we certainly have a majority. Where's Chris Yorks? Chris, remember in our last church when one of the leaders came up and said, Greg, the problem with you is that you don't worry enough and Chris worries too much. So we've been a good team over the years. But I actually am pretty good at worry. And I think most of us are. And there was a study done by the National Science Foundation in the United States quite a few years ago, but it's been replicated and validated time after time. And they basically came up with the conclusion, it is a waste of time to worry. 40% of what we worry about is something that has happened in the past that there's nothing we can do about. 30% is something in the future that we really don't have any control over. 12% of our worry is over our health. 10% of the worry, the research has said it's just so trivial that it doesn't even register. There's just all these little nagging things. And they concluded that 8% was worth worrying about. A few years ago, I preached a sermon on worry, and I didn't remember it, but one of you did. And they said that in this survey, I encourage you during the boring bits of the sermon, and apparently this person found it a little bit boring, I encourage them to start a worry list. So I'm giving you the same permission today. If you want to just take the bulletin, take a pen, and start writing down all your worries while I speak. But this person said, but then you did something that was quite interesting. You told us to cross off the word worry and put the word prayer. And have that as your prayer list. And this person said, that was a really good prayer list. And I was actually able to pray about the things that really matter to me. I talked last week about my father who fought in World War I, my grandfather who fought in World War I. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. But my mother's grandmother, my mother's mother, my grandmother, was a very simple woman. Her name was Thora. And my grandfather contracted cancer and was in the hospital dying. And I flew to Seattle to be with my mother, taking care of her parents. And the night that everyone thought my grandfather was to die, my mom spent the night in the hospital with my grandfather. And I spent the night with my grandma, Thora. And I was a young pastor at the time, and I said, Grandma, should we pray? And she said, I'd like that. And I prayed my typical perfunctory short Greg Anderson prayer, Amen. And then Grandma Thora started to pray. And I didn't time her, but I know it was at least 30 minutes, maybe 45. I was on holy ground because I realized I was with somebody who really loved Jesus, who knew what it was to say, help me, Lord, and knew what to say, praise you, Lord. But I'll always remember, dear Lord, if you choose to take Martin tonight, her husband of 60-some years, help me not to fuss. Paul says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises, now that's interesting, petitions, not just general prayers, specific prayers for specific people, and praise, shape your worries into prayers. Take all the stuff we worry about. Wouldn't it be neat to shape that into prayer? Stephen Lee's with us today. Stephen, thank you for giving me permission to share this. Gavin's wife, Jennifer, and daughter, Natalie, are with us today. Stephen and Gavin are both struggling with cancer, and they met this week. And it was so, I'm going to use the word fun, to be with the two of them. But Stephen told us a great story. He said that he went, well done, Anto, to a men's event at Union Church and met another guy, and the two of them were talking with each other at an MTR station when a third person came up, and the new guy from Union introduced Stephen to the new guy, and the new guy said, Stephen Lee, are you the guy we're praying for? And then he said, I mean really praying for. And I'm glad that Union is a church that prays for people, to be specific in our prayers. Yes, there are general prayers, but there are specific prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Now that's interesting. Our other translation said the peace, which passes human understanding. Shalom. Wholeness, things being put right. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life? Okay, let's be honest. Most of us said, yeah, we have a problem. We worry too much. But how refreshing it would be if the worry wasn't the center of our life, but Jesus Christ was the center of our life. So the pilgrims and Paul and hopefully us will say, yes, there's a problem, and I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to experience God's peace, God's wholeness, God's purpose will be fulfilled. The message, let me continue to read the passage. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess, happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me, you just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy. Now that's important, isn't it? Whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty, whatever I do, whatever I am, I can make it through anything through the one who makes me who I am. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, says Paul. So when we pray, we experience God's peace, but we also experience God's power. Now, it would be a very long sermon if I explained what was going on between the church at Philippi and Paul. But let me cut to the chase. They were his major supporter, his major donor. But the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. The Apostle Paul earned most of the income he needed for his missions. But it's harder to earn income when you are in prison. And so Paul had to rely on the church at Philippi. But yet he had these principles that he was going to raise his own money, but now he was in a situation where he had to be humble enough to say, I need help. And the church at Philippi came through. But Paul has a hard time saying thank you. And so he says, well, you have to understand that even if you didn't send anything, I'd still be okay. Last question of the sermon. How many of you are good at receiving compliments and thanks? Please raise your hand. We're all Pauls, right? It's hard. No. But look how effusive Paul is in praising others, but he has a hard time when people give to him. He's supposed to be the pastor, but Paul was pastored by the people in Philippi. And I close this sermon with a plug for the stewardship drive. There's an envelope there. Union is an exciting time, but it's a time where we could worry if we weren't experiencing the peace of God. But we would like you to have the privilege of contributing what God is doing here at Union Church. But the last thing I'd like to say is I just want to thank you. And we'll have other opportunities, but thank you for being the congregation that you are and for the way you have pastored your pastor in the best of times, but especially in the worst of times. And my prayer is that we are able to thank each other, but we are able to thank God. And like the pilgrims and like Paul, we are facing exciting futures. And I hope we can do it with Hosanna. Help us, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the peace, the wholeness, the reconciliation that only you can bring into our lives. And Father, as we face an uncertain future, We thank you that you are in control, that you love us and you care for us. And Father, we thank you that we can turn to you and turn to each other. Father, give us the humility to accept the help that we need from you and from each other as together we seek to first your kingdom and to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, empowered by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we live. Amen.